Hello and welcome to the Rangers Review Morning Briefing Live with me, Johnny McFarlane. Today I'm joined by Joshua Barry with Derek Clark sunning himself in his Wales hot tub and having another holiday, the swine. Yes, we're here. We've still got our noses to the grindstone, Joshua, and there's plenty to talk about when it comes to Rangers news this morning. But before we start getting dug in, let's just have a quick word about our fantastic sponsor, and that is the One Football app. It is a one-stop shop for all your football needs. Not only is there all the information that you need as a Rangers fan to follow what's happening with the club, be that articles or data or details about games or the Scottish Premiership league table, it's literally got everything you need to know about the club as it happens. You can also set your app so that it gives you information regarding other clubs. So, I don't know, you might be an AC Milan fan, you might be a Chelsea fan, as well as being a Rangers fan, and you can look at those clubs too. You can set them up so you're getting notifications to your phone telling you what's happening at each of these clubs. It really is a terrific app. It's one of the most popular, I think, football apps in all the world. So get on there and download it. It's absolutely free. Thanks to them for their continued sponsorship. Right, Josh, we've done our bit at the start. Let's get dug into some of these stories, because there are some big stories floating around, and none bigger than the target man, Antonio Colak, who's at PAOK Salonika at the moment, and he is available on a free transfer. Well, he's available, on a transfer, not a free transfer. Like, that's completely wrong. What's the situation there, Josh? Because yesterday there started to be a number of stories floating around in Greece. Sport Time journalist Giannis Chirapolona, I can't even pronounce that. I'm not even going to try. I don't know why I did. He has suggested that the first offer has been turned down. Don't think that's quite true, as we understand it. But certainly there seems to be something in this, Josh.
Yeah, well, obviously this first came up yesterday, Johnny, and the link being that Colak scored, I think it was both goals he scored for Malmo in the game at Ibrox, the second leg, kind of tormented Leon Balogun, didn't he, with two excellent finishes. One was actually direct from a throw-in, and it was back across Alan McGregor. The other one was from the other side of the box, and I think it was across Alan McGregor to the other side. Although I did see a friend of the show and contributor to the website, Patrick Caskey, kind of not put his seal of approval on the move, shall we say, which is always interesting because he knows far more about European leagues than we do, Johnny. But I'm told that there's not been any contact at the moment, but he is a type of player that Rangers would have an interest in. Obviously, if you look at him, he fits the mould of a forward that Van Bronckhorst would like to have at Ibrox, Johnny, in terms of his stature, his physicality, his ability to probably hold play and be a bit of an active target man like Morelos is. We've seen how good a finisher he could be that game at Ibrox, but I don't have much knowledge of the type of player he is outside of those two legs. It'll be maybe one to look in a bit today, but nothing, no contact I'm told at the moment, but maybe one to watch because I'm told he is a player that Rangers would have an interest in, as I say, because of his profile and because of what he'd bring, especially maybe some competition up there for Alfredo Morelos.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one from a point of view of his recent stats, Josh. He had a great season, there's no doubt about it, for Malmo. Did very, very well from them when he was on loan. And listen, Rangers saw just how good he can be when he's absolutely at it. And there's little doubt that he's got a fair bit of quality about him. You don't play for the Croatian national team if you don't. But he has been struggling at PAOK, hasn't he? He's just having a quick look at his stats here. He's 24 appearances and only 3 goals in total. And certainly since he returned, he has been playing a little bit more since January, and only 2 goals. So he's not really hit the ground running in the Greek Super League, has he?
Yeah, and it's always hard to judge these things, Johnny, when, you know, I don't know about you, but I've not watched much of the Greek Super League recently. And I mean, we were speaking to Michael Beale 2 days ago, and Michael Beale was given the example of going to watch Glenn Kamara and Glenn Kamara being on the bench at Dundee. I was looking at some stats for a piece I'm working on at the moment with Alfredo Morelos, and you'll remember his kind of drop in form after Christmas in 2020. He took 38 shots and almost over 600 minutes and couldn't score. Now, I don't know exactly what's happening with Colak, but that's obviously just to give an explanation that probably requires a bit of digging to understand why that is and what that means. But certainly on the face of it, from the little bits I've seen of him, I think he'd probably be an upgrade on it, and definitely what he gives you in that area. And you know, as we've discussed a few times, Johnny, Rangers do need a forward. We don't know what's going to happen with Morelos, but even if it is Morelos and Ruth here next season, Rangers need arguably maybe two players that can play in that position, at least one. And yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens with this one. But you can see why there would be an interest in Colak, as I say, because of the profile, because of what he brings, because of his physicality and the attributes that he could bring to Ibrox. We spoke a lot before Van Bronckhorst arrived at Ibrox about the way he'd used his forwards at Feyenoord, culminating obviously in using Robin van Persie as well in that high area. But he liked to play with someone who he could play up to. So, one to keep an eye on. Definitely not something that we're not saying it's not going to happen. It's dead in the water. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I understand there's been no direct contact at the moment. Keep an eye on it. And as I say, understand he would be a player that Rangers would hypothetically be interested in because of his profile.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, I suppose, Josh, that we have to consider about this potential transfer, and it sounds like it's, I think people should be aware that it's quite a wee bit away if it was even to be considered more fully. But this is not the kind of guy that's going to come in as a third choice. It doesn't strike me like that, you know, with Roof and Morelos. So you'd have to imagine this would likely be Colak coming in as potentially... either Van Bronckhorst changes to a two up front, or you'd be talking about someone coming in as a first or second choice.
Yeah, well, I could
potentially Morelos or Roof leaving.
Yeah, well, I could see it as competition for Morelos, definitely, because I think, I mean, you look across the other side of the city, Johnny, and you look at Celtic having Jacques Marcus and Kyogo both kind of pushing one another for that central starting position. I think you need that, especially when we know that Morelos can drop off in terms of his goal return, especially because Rangers played 65 games last season and finished the season, obviously, because of their lack of depth in a way at number nine. Obviously, they were unfortunate because Roof was injured, Morelos was injured. I think there was some conversation about Etten not being fully fit as well. Then you end up playing a false nine for a while. So I don't think it's maybe in the same breath as Boat Time, because I think he'd, you know, we spoke about him, I think, on Friday, Johnny, and I think he'd definitely be someone that, given the interest in him from a lot of top clubs, that would be first choice definitively. Whereas I don't think there'd be a harm in bringing someone in to provide competition for Alfredo Morelos. I think that's actually quite necessary. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Roof and Morelos play together a little bit more in the new season. We know that they can do that. So that's obviously an option as well. And obviously, again, as we always say, it depends on Roof's fitness. I kind of have a bit of a theory that his injury record will be better next season when he's got the consistency of working with one manager. We obviously don't know what's been going on with the AI injury tracking stuff that we've discussed in the past, Johnny. But, you know, if Roof can have a season like 2020, then he's a very, very valuable player to have in and around the squad.
Yeah, and Ryan Stewart pointing out Colak's stats in three out of the last four seasons are good, to be fair. And he has got a point there. He was prolific at Rijeka when he was there. That got him his move to PAOK, and then obviously did really, really well at Malmo as well. So perhaps it's a fit, something to do with either the league or the club themselves. And that's something we'll be digging into at the Rangers Review today to try and get you a proper scouting report on just exactly where his form's been and what he can do in the future. At 28, he's certainly going to arrive as a complete package. This is not going to be a project player, is it, if it happens?
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on it and see how that progresses. Getting a lot of questions about the goalkeeping situation. Let's just touch on Alan McGregor first and foremost, because we know there's a story about Robbie McCrory, but I want to touch on that afterwards. First up, Josh, you've got a really interesting piece on the website today, detailing exactly what happened and what the situation was with Alan McGregor. You've clearly been tapping up people and getting inside the actual story there. So could you talk us through the story and what you've learned?
Yeah, so obviously it was with an attempt to kind of give some background to why McGregor had signed, what happened in the kind of background to it, Johnny. I think this first materialised on June 7th when we said that although Rangers and Alan McGregor were both kind of open to discussions, none had taken place at that point. Now, McGregor was on holiday at that point and hadn't had any discussions with Rangers. I think he was quite matter-of-fact in his Rangers TV interview after the Scottish Cup final when he said, I've not thought about my future. I want to go and take a break. You know, it's been game recovery, and I'll reflect on it. And that very much ended up being the case. And McGregor said as much in his Rangers TV interview yesterday or Monday it was, Johnny, when he said that after speaking to people about effectively saying, look, you're a long-time retired, he effectively came to the same conclusion himself. Now, understand that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was quite a big part in wanting to keep McGregor. There's quite a lot of parallels, Johnny, if you look at what he did in his second season with Feyenoord, I think compared to what he's trying to do with Rangers in terms of, if you look at that team he had at Feyenoord, his goalkeeper was 35, 36 in Brad Jones. Dirk Kuyt, who's one of his most important players, he scored a hat-trick in the final day of the season, he was 36. A midfielder called Karim, I think it's El Amadi, was 32, 33. So he had a real core of experience within that squad. And if you look now at the elder statesmen, if you will, in keeping Davies, Arfield and McGregor, I think Van Bronckhorst was very keen for that to happen. And the rest of the piece is obviously information about the type of person that McGregor is around the training ground, which won't surprise anyone who's, you know, been around Rangers for a while, given his professionalism, which his longevity speaks to, the positive influence he has around the camp. And there's obviously a belief that Rangers can make it work. I don't think I don't have any information on who will be number one. My inkling, and again, this is just my inkling, is that it will kind of be maybe a little bit more of a fight it out for the number one as opposed to last season when McGregor signed after Rangers 155, Johnny, it was very much, I think he's going to be number one. But as I say, I don't have any information on that. That's just my inkling. So, yeah, I think Van Bronckhorst is very key to push McGregor. We're going to have more content on, you know, there's a lot of discussion, how many goals did McGregor cost, all that stuff last season. And there's some interesting stats around that we've got, Johnny, in terms of maybe showing him in a more favourable light than you'd think. Certainly wasn't in the red, but he had a big drop-off in the season before, so he's kind of a victim of his own success. Equally, obviously, there's a conversation to be had that a player has to have a decline that's irreversible at one point. And you can understand that a lot of supporters will think that'll naturally happen at 40. But then, again, to play devil's advocate, how many times has Alan McGregor been written off before? And does he have one more season in him to do it? So it's a really interesting conversation. Obviously, time will prove whether it's the right decision by the club or not. But as I say, you can subscribe to the website for free at the moment. You can get all the news on the inside the deal, all the stats. We'll have more opinion about it as well. So plenty of coverage for you on the topic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on record as saying I don't think Alan McGregor should have stayed on. I think it was the perfect time for him to leave. Josh, Scottish Cup winner, having played in a European final and basically having achieved so much since his return to the club and helping put Rangers back on top in Scottish football and returning them as a European force. He obviously doesn't feel like he's ready to call it a day. He obviously feels like his body is still capable of producing the kind of goods that are required for Rangers' keeper. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst clearly agrees with him. Now, these guys are there on the training pitch. They also see Robbie McCrory, and they have to make that decision. We don't see what's going on every day. We've only seen Robbie McCrory twice for Rangers, and the rest of the time we're going by what he was like at Livingston, which I think was a very mercurial spell. His form was up and down. He would make a great save, but he also made a good few mistakes, and he lost his place to Max Krajicek, who's a very good keeper, to be fair. But it wasn't a perfect loan spell by any means. So in terms of Robbie McCrory, it's not like we have a young talent that's undeniable, like a Nathan Patterson coming through, you just cannot continue to ignore. you know, he's really, really, really pushing. I'm not sure that's the case. Now, as I said, I would have personally, with my knowledge and view of the situation, I would have said to Alan McGregor, thanks for everything, Alan. We're going to go with John McLaughlin as number one and Rob McCrory number two next season, because I worry about teams targeting Alan McGregor's lack of tendency to come and collect the ball and when it's thrown at the box. And I also think that Rangers, to evolve, need to get a more of a sweeper-keeper to keep in touch with a lot of the clubs around Europe who are utilising their keeper in a more offensive capacity in the sort of Cruyffian style. Now, time will tell if it's the right decision. You're exactly right, Joshua, when you say that. But I think that the fans who have been probably, I would say, on largely negative about this contract from McGregor, it just has to be an acceptance that now it's happened and that we march forward in the new season. There's not anything else for it. But Giovanni Van Bronckhorst will put pressure on himself if the same issues that were rearing their head last season do so once again this year. And you'd have to accept, I think, if you're him, that should clubs continue to target Rangers in that way, and should Rangers continue to struggle in that way in terms of balls in the box, then it's going to be very difficult to maintain McGregor as the number one. We may well get into the new season and John McLaughlin's number one. And then I don't think people will have too many grumbles, because McGregor, you know, having him around the place, as you detail in your piece, is such a positive for the club. But let's move on to Robbie McCrory, Joshua, because the story that's doing the rounds today is that McCrory is now going to refuse to sign a new deal. He's got 1 year left. I suppose quite understandable. He was hoping for a more cleared pathway to the first team, and it certainly doesn't look like that's going to be the case now. He seems to think that it's time for a move on, and he's been linked. I honestly can't get my head around this. I mean, I'm not saying it's not true, but it just makes absolutely zero sense. He's been linked with Manchester United. Just common sense tells you that's not going to happen. And I'll come back on here and apologise if it does. But I know Manchester United are a club and that do things in a rather strange way. But for them to sign Robbie McCrory would just be, it would be extremely strange in my view. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, just quickly on McGregor, I just want to say one more thing, Johnny, which is that he said in his Rangers TV interview, he was asked about the fact that he hadn't played quite as much football when he was younger and whether that helped him now. You know, so you have some players, maybe like a Raheem Sterling, who's now 27, but has been playing football at the top level since he was, I think, 16, 17.
Yeah, it's not the years, it's the mileage. It's Wayne Rooney, you know, was done by the time he was 30 because he started at 16. Yeah,
that kind of thing, yeah. And I don't know if that's a factor, but I just thought it was an interesting point when thinking about age. And the other thing is, on McGregor quickly, I think the final Old Firm game at Celtic Park, the 1-1 draw, was a demonstration of how Rangers can kind of use McGregor's distribution and adapt to it. I agree with you. I think when you play with John McLaughlin, you have almost an extra outfielder at points. But yeah, just wanted to mention that. McCrory, it's an interesting one because, as you say, there's two sides to it. There's a side of players at any club, and it's something that Yanis Hadji will have at the moment, or whoever's out injured, that they always become a better player when they're not playing because the players in front of them maybe aren't having the best of times. I thought McCrory looked really good in those games, as we spoke about at the time. One of the elements that was particularly obviously effective and impressive was the way that he was aggressive off his line. And was it not a red card? Was it a red card that an Alish Kirk player was given for kicking him in the head? Is that right? Or a yellow card? Do you remember? If anyone can remember that, do let us know. Mm-hmm. But there was I have a vivid memory of McCrory going out to gather a ball.
I've got a newborn child, mate. I can't even remember what I did yesterday.
Okay, well, someone remind me in the comments. Maybe it was a yellow card, but definitely McCrory going out to gather a ball and taking a kick in the head. And then obviously made a good few saves. I think one from Kyogo in that Old Firm game. But it's hard to know, you know, whether he wanted to be number one, whether he just wanted to be, you know, on the bench more and be the cupkeeper, and whether he's good enough as well. Because as you say, Johnny, his loan moves, I don't think they were entirely convincing. But then, you know, other players have had difficult loan moves and done well. So yeah, it will be interesting to see what does materialise. Obviously, the third choice keeper role is a very specific one in football, and we heard Andy Firth speaking about that recently. I think it was with the fourth official that he gave an interview, and he was kind of detailing what he'd done in and around Rangers. But yeah, one to keep an eye on. I mean, you'd obviously be surprised if McCrory did go to United. I think they did lose Lee Grant, though, who was their third choice keeper. I think he went into a coaching capacity. I don't know if the homegrown rules is only applied to English players or British players in the Premier League.
I think it's just English players.
I don't know. But yeah, anyway, so just have to wait and see. But I'm the same as you, I'd be very surprised if that happened.
Yeah, there's certainly, obviously, with the Brexit situation, it's a lot easier to get younger players, but Robbie McCrory is 24. And I don't think he would fit under the criteria of homegrown. But I need to check that out, Josh. I'm not 100% sure at this stage. So yeah, I mean, in terms of McCrory, Josh, I mean, do you feel that Rangers would be letting a real talent slip through their fingers here? I mean, from what you've seen, I thought he was very good in those two games, calm, just didn't put a foot wrong, really, and made a couple of good saves against Celtic in particular. That's a really tough game to be thrown into, especially when your manager's not there. And I feel for the kid because, to me, he is at that age where he needs to be playing. At 24, it's getting too late, and I totally understand why he would want to seek pastures new. But at the same time, if he goes to Manchester United, say that does happen, I don't think it will. But if it does, I mean, he's not going to be first choice there. He's never going to play. He's not going to usurp David De Gea.
No, probably not. No, Ben Lickley.
Probably not. Probably not, Josh.
He's 24 now, is he? Maybe 25.
Yeah.
So I guess in goalkeeper terms, he's still relatively young. But again, it's hard to know how good he is, Johnny, because those two games are such a small sample size. Looking back on that, he was very proactive off his line. I can't think of what his shot stopping was necessarily like. And obviously that's what his plus card is, what he's built his career off, what he still managed to do last season in the Europa League run, notably kind of in the Red Star games, and also made a really big save against Leipzig just before they scored. Obviously that's kind of overshadowed because they went and equalised through Nkunku a few minutes after. What I guess you've got to consider is that Rangers have considered before McGregor signed their contract what McCrory will do. Now, Colin Stewart did say in the press release Rangers put out on the website after McGregor signed that, you know, I expect healthy competition for places. You know, we've got a really good goalkeeping contingent, a good goalkeeping team next year. So you've got to imagine that they'll know what's happening in terms of is it going to be the same as last year as McGregor and McLaughlin and McCrory's only number three, or is it a little bit different this year where McCrory will get more game time?
Yeah, and
they'll have a little accounted for that. That's what you've got to imagine. You know, if we're having this length of discussion, I always think outside the club, you've got to predict that inside the club they're doing far more due diligence. So I reckon if McCrory is good enough to be number one, he will get that opportunity or will have been given that opportunity at some point. But also, John McLaughlin is 34 and he wants to be number one. You know, I've got that in the McGregor piece. He spoke about that to the press in February. Obviously, at the same time, he was very respectful of McGregor and that really carried in his quotes. And he also spoke about it before the Europa League final. And he's really at his goalkeeping peak, would you say, probably, Johnny? 34, I think he is now. I'm guessing that's roughly when a goalkeeper would peak off the top of my head. So, you know, McCrory's got him to compete with as well. And I don't know if he... You know, McLaughlin is quite aggressive off his line. He does come and gather crosses. He is good with his feet. Maybe McCrory's a little bit quicker to rush out. So there's, you know, lots of competition there. So we just have to wait and see. And again, I guess the evidence will be in what happens at the start of the season, who's in goals, and whether it's effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, we're going to call it a day there, mate. Let's just wrap this up. We will be back tomorrow, of course, as usual at 9:30 a.m. So, guys, thank you for tuning in. If you wish to support us, and we hope you do, and we can't do these videos without your support every day, go onto our website and subscribe. That's therangersreview.co.uk/subscribe. It's free at the moment. It's a 30-day free trial. After that, it's the standard £2.99 price. That is absolute peanuts, obviously, and you get absolutely terrific bang for your buck. You get at least 3 Rangers deep dives every day, including this video. You get tactical analysis, big interviews. We really cover the club in granular detail, so come along and support what we're trying to do over there. Right, we're going to call it a day. Until next time, thanks for watching.